Hey, this is Monica from Theo Taryn.
This is Pathos from Symphony
Hi,
of
this
Heaven,
is Randy
and you are
Rose.
Listening to the Johnny Taco Show.
Hey, what's
Show.
Up, everybody? This is Paul McCoy from the band 12 Stones, and you're listening to the Johnny Taco Show.
This is
Show.
Sloths in a Bucket on Johnny Taco Show.
Hey, this is Sergio Pollock from A Best Routine Rising.
Hey, guys, this is Jeremy Sims from With Blood Comes Cleansing. You're listening to the Johnny Taco Show.
This is Patrick from Ritual Servant, and you're listening to...
Welcome to the Johnny Taco Show.
I came running to you, the darkness you pulled me through, what remains of the life I once had, but still it tries to haunt me, in the back of my mind it taunts me, what remains I will place in your hands. Even if the healing never comes, your grace is sufficient for me. Yes, I know you're God and I choose to believe that you're still good. When all the hope begins to fade, when the lies try to evade, I believe you'll break these chains, 'cause you're greater than what remains. You took the burden of my shame, it carried my sins endless weight. I know your love can't be contained, 'cause you're greater than what remains. Sometimes you don't heal us, and all we can do is trust. What remains is your strength in our weakness. And if these vices must stay, my faith is in heaven where one day what remains will all be washed away. 'Cause you're still good when all the hope begins to fade.
What Remains by the man, Dustin Starks. And we have Dustin here today on the show. We're going to talk about his testimony as well as his awesome songwriting skills, because, you know, the skills are with this man, this godly man. And I believe that one of the gifts that God has bestowed upon you is your musical talents. So I just wanted to let you know that real fast, Dustin. Before we get to the interview, just to let you know that Metal Grace is coming in November 9th. It's November 9th. We moved it to 9th. It's going to be awesome. All ages, everybody's invited to the Hope Ministry over there in Fort Worth. It's brought to you by Finding Hope Music Festivals. So you know what? We get to rock and roll with our brothers and sisters in Christ and just have a great time. There'll also be vendors. So stay tuned for all the vendors that are coming. So it's going to be a great festival. It's my third year for Metal Grace. So you know what? Bigger and better. We want it louder and prouder, right? Well, you know, not pride, because, you know, pride's a sin. So just louder and more message filled. There we go. We'll use that. All right. So that is all the plugs at this moment. Let's talk to Dustin. Hey, Dustin, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
It's raining in beautiful Waxahachie, Texas. But you know what? When the rain is coming, it means all my flowers and stuff that my wife had me put into the garden are flourishing. So I'm pretty excited about seeing how that's going to look this year. Hopefully it's not going to be 150 and scorch all the work that I've done.
Right. We actually, we have a really beautiful day here. I'm in Snowflake, Arizona, and usually around this time of year, we get a lot of winds, like really high winds. And today is supposed to be beautiful. So we're going to go spend some time outside and enjoy it.
You know what? Snowflake in Arizona, you don't really hear that in a sentence that much.
Right. And funny enough, we do get snow here. Not a ton, but, you know, maybe we'll have one or two big storms where we'll get, you know, 6 to 8 inches or something like that.
So are you like in the northern part of Arizona?
Yeah, it's more northern, northeastern Arizona.
Okay, so almost to the Rockies, but not close to the Rockies.
Yes.
So, well, tell us a little something about you.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, my name's Dustin Starks. I've been writing music for probably about 12, 13 years now. Kind of more of just a pastime up until about the last 4 years, and then started getting a little bit more heavy into it and actually pursuing it a little bit more as a career. So, you know, the last four years, I've really invested into my songwriting and my, you know, producing my songs, getting them professionally mixed and mastered. So they're commercial grade and the quality is there. And really, you know, God's just been working on my life and my heart and just changing me, you know, daily. It's just a constant process, you know, of the sanctification, the purification that comes once you give your life to Christ. And so obviously I try to show that through my songs, the struggles and the hurts and the challenges and just the complications of daily life that we all face, versus whether it's, you know, just a daily struggle or, you know, a longer term struggle or, you know, something that just kind of happened within, my life recently. Try to share that, through my music and through my lyrics, as well as always, you know, pointing the hope back to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? I think we all have those times where we just, we live in that dark corner and we think we're alone, but we're not alone. We have Jesus with us. And I like to remind people, hey, if you think you're alone and you think no one loves you, you know, there is one person that loves you, and that is Jesus Christ. And he'll always love you for all your downfalls and all your triumphs. He'll be there and to guide you to where you need to be. So, so growing up, you have Tourette's. My son has Tourette's. And people think Tourette's is a whole bunch of cussing and, you know, like they show on the TV, but my son is more coughing.
Yeah, and that's actually for me, you might catch that I do kind of like a coughing thing. I do where I kind of like wiggle my nose a little bit at times, or I do this like shoulder shrug I'll do. But it's when I was younger, when I was in like junior high, high school, that was when it was the worst. And unfortunately, my daughter also has Tourette's, and she's just approaching that age where it starts to get kind of a little bit more complicated, and other kids at school don't understand why you're making noises or doing certain things. And now that I've gotten older, I've outgrown it a little bit. It's still there, but it's not nearly as bad as it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that stereotype on in the movies, you know, when somebody says, "Hey, I got Tourette's," and they go, "Are you going to just burst out cussing?" You know, and it's just, yeah, that's just a form of it. You know, there's many different forms that take place. You know, and did you ever felt like you were kind of bullied back then? If you don't mind me asking,
At times, and it wasn't even, I don't even know necessarily so much even bullying, but just kids didn't really understand, and I didn't even really know what was going on because I wasn't really diagnosed with it until I was more in high school. But like kids and even teachers thought I was just trying to be disruptive to the class or just being obnoxious. And so a lot of time I was just kind of more made fun of for it, or I even got in trouble by some of my teachers for trying to be disruptive in the class. And I'm like, and I didn't, as somebody who has Tourette's, you kind of, it becomes so normal that you almost don't even realize you're doing it. And then they'd be like, I'd be like, "What are you talking about? I don't even know I was doing that." And then I would get in trouble because I'm like, "Well, you're being disruptive." And eventually, so we figured it out. We figured out I had Tourette's. We were able to approach my teachers with that. I'd be like, "Just so you know, I'm not trying to be disruptive. I'm not trying to, make random obnoxious noises in the class. Like, that's unfortunately just part of the Tourette's."
Yeah. And you know, with more information, more knowledge, you know, people will be more understanding of what you go through on a day by day. And you know, God bless, you said your daughter has it as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, God bless her too, you know. And with any of our little perks that we got, that God had made us, you know, just perfect, you know, and some of the quirks, you know, I have narcolepsy, which means I can just fall asleep at any time. My wife thinks she wishes she could get that. I wish I could sleep just like that. Or like, yeah, but you can still hear people talking. So I used to hear people saying I was lazy and stuff like that. And it wasn't that. I have a neurological defect, just like anybody else does, and I've learned to live with it with medications. And yeah, you know, my son learned to live with it through counseling and through, you know, exercise, you know, like yeah, a kind of a mental exercise. So, and he's been when he gets nervous, that's when he gets worse, or when he gets anxious. So,
but definitely.
Yeah, so growing up, you said, and I'm reading a little bit about your bio, because you know, you're a very interesting gentleman, if I can say so. So you encountered a Christian concert at 15. So
yes.
So did you have, like, because when I hear, back when I was a kid, when I heard Christian music, I was thinking all it was a bunch of hymns, you know, just open up your book and just start reading out hymns. Cause I grew up Baptist. So, but, how did it draw you in? Was it the way the music was played, or you think God was just revealing your true gift?
Honestly, I think at that point, it was an event that we had started going to church as a family, and we started going to youth group, and it was an event that we had gone to, but I hadn't really fully given myself, my life to Christ. And it was kind of at that point, it was one of those things where I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, just calling me to, they were doing an altar call to call, to go up there and give my life to Christ. At the time, I don't think I fully understand the scope of it or exactly what all of that meant. It was kind of like the entry level, just the starting point. And it was at that point that I gave my life to Christ, but I don't think that was the point where I fully committed my life to Christ, if that makes sense. In the sense of, you know, I think it was probably more like 16, 17 years old where I finally hit that point where I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This is what I want to do. I want to give my life to Christ. I understand fully what he did for me and the grace that he gave me on the cross. And so I look at that concert, it's just kind of more, or that event, it was like a 2-day event, I think, as more of just like the Holy Spirit starting to work in my life.
Yeah. And doing that, you know, like you said, you know, you gave your life to Christ at 15, but it's a journey, because nobody ever went 100 miles into one thing. You know, it's a journey to that progression. Plus you were a child, and children do childish things, you know. I guess I'm a man baby because I still do childish things, you know. So with that and having the passion to pursue Christian music, you also mastered guitar and piano, right? So you're a pianist and a guitarist.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've mastered the piano, but I can play the piano. I know my way around it decently enough. Guitar, I'm definitely more fluent on the guitar, but I can play both instruments well enough.
And when you were, because piano, you know, if you're piano and guitar, it kind of goes hand in hand when you write music. Because sometimes, you know, I've heard songwriters start off the music being in a piano, and then it progressed to a guitar.
Yeah.
So do you think that your passion for Christ had made you more, you know, musically inclined, or did you start at an earlier age of learning how to play music?
No, I didn't really start getting into music till after, kind of after that event. And I started getting more involved in my youth group and, started wanting to get involved in the worship team. And so at that point, but I didn't play any instruments or, really even sing, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna pick up the guitar and I'm gonna start learning. And so that's what I did. And I got to the point where I, you know, started leading worship, at my church, and you know, I wasn't good, but it didn't really matter because it was a starting point, and I progressed through that. So it wasn't until I was about 16 that I even picked up a guitar.
So you didn't tell them, hey, I can play a mean air guitar?
You know, they right, would have put you in said. There.
You know what? I dabbled in instruments, but mine were more brass. I did tuba. And here's a funny story, because I know you probably have a funny story about playing music when you first started in the worship team. It was Christmas. It was middle school, and we were supposed to recite the first concert we ever did. We had to, you know, play music. I played tuba. I forgot how to play the tuba. So what I did, instead of playing it, I just hummed it really loud through the mouthpiece, like how the beat was supposed to go, how the rhythm was. Yeah, it was they and the funny thing about it is Mr. Pandolfo, that was the my teacher. Kudos to him. You know, I feel for him having to teach a bunch of crazy kids every day. I think he's retired now, but he said, y'all did a great job. Y'all really went out there and y'all did it. And then especially you, Johnny. And I was like, oh no, he knew about it, but he didn't give me slack. He wasn't like that movie. What was that movie? Drumline or something, or Whiplash. where that teacher was like abusive to that guy the whole movie to make him better.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of that. So kudos to him. I hope he's doing well. So what story do you have? What funny story do you have when you first started, you know, playing in a worship group team?
Not thinking of anything off the top of my head.
So there was nothing ever, because, you know, this is the listeners listen, they want to be musicians, they want to go out there and worship, but they're afraid of the first step, and people fall on a lot of times when they first start, you know, but you have to rise to get up. Has there ever been a time where you were like, you didn't know, you were nervous, you didn't know what to do, and you messed up, but it still went through?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely been a ton of times where I just had to kind of improvise or, you know, make things up as I went because I, you know, forgot something. Actually, in fact, this was even just recently, we were doing rehearsals with my band, and it's a song that I've been singing for, I don't know, I wrote it 3 years ago, and I've done it live millions of times, maybe not millions of times, but tons of times. And we're doing rehearsals, and all of the lyrics just completely blanked on me. And we're still going through the song, and I'm like, I cannot figure out where I'm at. I can't figure out. So I started just making up lyrics to the melody, because I can remember the melody, but I can't remember the lyrics. So we went through the rest of the song, and I just kind of made new lyrics to it, and it worked. I mean, for just running through, and then we get to the end of the song, and I'm like, I have no idea what happened, guys. I blanked on all the lyrics.
It's amazing how you do a song over and over and over again, and then you get that brain fart, and then you're just like, okay, I'll just make up some words. I bet you that was funny. I bet you everybody was laughing. It's like, where'd you come up with those lyrics?
they're all just kind of chuckling while we're going through, because we just went through the rest of the song, and they're kind of just laughing because I'm just making stuff up. But it worked. I mean, we got through the song, and it was good to run through it. But I'm like, okay, next time I'll remember the lyrics.
Yeah. And speaking of music, who are some of your who are some of the musicians that you looked up to? You know, I know reading in your bio, Switchfoot, which I'm going to go see them tonight. I'm going to see them tonight in concert, which is going to be pretty awesome. But you like, you get a lot of inspiration from For King and Country. They're relatively a new band. I saw their Christmas special last December, which was, it was mind blowing, the production.
Yeah. So yeah, the Switchfoot was probably one of my most inspirational bands as a teenager. And I listened to a lot of like punk rock stuff as well, like Reliant K, Hawk Nelson. Doesn't really necessarily show in my music, but those were just some, you know, in the high school days of the type of music that I listened to and was influenced by. And then I like some of, there's some other artists there. I don't know if you've ever heard of Sleeping at Last.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily in the Christian realm, so to speak, but their lyrics are not, they're good lyrics.
It's a positive lyrics.
Yeah. And he's pretty chill. His music's actually really chill, but I sometimes just like that, that style. And so, you know, it's just kind of cool to maybe even incorporate some of that at times into mine, where, you know, it has a little bit like a more chill undertone or something, you know?
Yeah. And it's, when I was listening to the two songs that the first song that you gave me, you know, to me, it was more like a worship song. It's like a full on worship song. It's kind of in the veins of maybe like newer Jeremy Camp kind of feel to it. Is that what you kind of you know, kind of aim for?
Yeah, so I've when I first originally started, I was a little bit more heavy into the pop side, like an acoustic pop, a little bit of electronic in there as well. And this last year, I've actually intentionally been leaning into a little bit more on the worship side with my writing. And so the other song I shared with you, so I shared two songs with you, both of them kind of lean into that worship side a little bit more so. And even I'm working on a new song right now that is still has a little bit of a pop edge, but it's also leans into that worship side as well.
Well, you're growing up, you know, you're getting older, you're getting more refined. Your taste has probably been more sharpened to what full on worship kind of feel to it. You know, my taste, you know, changes over the years. You know, I'm 48. Yeah, I don't look like it. You don't have to say that. Everybody tells me that. But yet when you elevate, because speaking of Jeremy Camp was like to me, his first albums were Creed, kind of like Creed kind of feel, all the way up to what he's doing now, which is more contemporary pop to worship music. And it's just when you mature more into your genre, you start changing it up. So, and the music is awesome, dude. I love the music. Yeah, you know, you're an awesome songwriter. You know, I'm majority a metalhead. You know, I love metal rock. You know, but I do like when I'm driving. I love listening to contemporary, just relax a little bit, enjoying before I have to go to my stressful work environment or something stressful. You know, it's always good to hear. And What Remains to me was a very, very good song for that kind of trip.
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely. Like when I wrote that song, I wrote that song over maybe a year and a half ago now, when I actually wrote it and then I recorded it. But anyway, I actually wrote that song, you know, just I wrote it around the Bible verse. I think it's 2 Corinthians 12 something in there. And it's where Paul's, you know, pleading with God, you know, three times he says, you know, take this thorn out of my side, and God responds with, my grace is sufficient for you. And so I had this idea of, you know, as Christians, sometimes we expect or we think we should be healed of everything, but that doesn't always necessarily happen. And it's not the fact that God can't or doesn't even want to, but sometimes he chooses not to. And the reason for that is to show his power and his strength in our weakness, as Paul says. And so this idea was like, what remains, like what, as a Christian, what do we do when we are left with what remains after we give our life to Christ? And sometimes we're not healed from those things that we want to be healed from.
Amen. Amen. And for the listeners who are wondering about that scripture, it's actually 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. That's the whole Paul. Yeah, that's the whole Paul and his thorn. Because, you know, people are, you know, when typically when someone goes to God, and I hate to say it because I fell towards that before, was when I was in angst or when I was hurt. But when I got older, I started just praying to him when I'm happy, praying to him whenever everything, because I'm over here like, can you please, you know, take this narcolepsy away? I want to be awake and enjoy. I want to go back to working out. I want to get that Chris Hemsworth kind of body, not from Avengers 8, you know, the end game where he's, well, I have that body right now, but like the muscular body, you know, and it's just, you know, it was given to me for me to learn to be more humble.
So,
and your music, because enough of that, enough of me. This is not about me. This is about Jesus and my buddy Dustin here. So you started doing music. You went to the Extreme Tour with my buddy Alley Cat, Angelo. So how did that come along? Did they call you up, say, hey, you know, we enjoy your music. You want to come out and sing to a bunch of people in the heat of the night? Or
So they actually emailed me. I never actually, even last year we were going to tour with them, and we had some complications with my drummer, and he's been battling cancer for the past few years. And so with his health and stuff, we weren't actually able to tour with him last year, unfortunately, but we did go out to the objective, or I went out to the objectives, and got to, you know, meet a bunch of the artists and meet people. And so that was kind of cool and fun. And, to get to experience that with the Extreme Tour.
Yeah. And what is your drummer's name?
His name is Steve.
Steve. Okay. I'll put him in our little warrior prayer book here. So we'll pray for him and recovery, because cancer is just not, the person who has cancer, it's the family too, that has to worry, and it does a big strain on the people that surround him as well as him. So we'll pray for him and pray for his family,
and appreciate it.
Pray for everybody that's helping him out, to keep helping him out, because even Moses needed a hand when his arms got tired. Yep. So are you planning on doing any concerts up soon coming?
Yeah, so we have a concert in just a town over in 2 weeks on May 3rd, and then we have a couple others planned for the summer and then even into the fall. Most of them are just Arizona local, but.
And, you know, Arizona people need Jesus just as much as Texas, Hawaii, everywhere around. Man, I wish you can come down through Texas, man. It'd be awesome to hear you perform live.
So yeah, I mean, we're definitely open to it. As long as, you know, scheduling and things like that all work out, I wouldn't mind, you know, making it down that way.
Yeah, you're only what, half a state away from landlocked to Texas. So yeah, you're not that far. It's a hop, skip it away. You can get here in 12 hours tops. That's all.
Yeah.
So, you said you have some music, in the works that you're writing a song right now. Are there any other future, you know, EPs coming out, merchandise? Do you have a place where people can support you? Because I believe that us as Christians, we go out and we minister, and we put a lot of our own blood, sweat, and tears and money into it. That it's only right that, you know, people come and help, because going to places costs money. Everything, it drains you. And is there a place where they can say, hey, you know, I love your music, I want to buy a shirt or buy a hat or buy a song from you, or, you know, or just donate to your ministry?
Yeah. So on my, my website at dustinstarksmusic.com, I have both a merch, page where I have a lot of different merch on there. I'm not currently working on any new merch at the moment, just because of finances. But I also have a place there. It's like a sponsorship, or not sponsorship. It's on my website. It's called something else, I think. But where people can also donate, or subscription maybe is what it's called. People can donate, you know, monthly, and get some perks in doing that, where they get, you know, pre-release songs and some kind of behind the scenes stuff of my writing. And I actually just recently started that. So it's just ways for people to help support my music in a monthly capacity as low as, you know, $3 a month, just to help. And then also, you know, get to hear pre-released music before, you know, a month or two before it comes out. So I'm working on an EP right now, but it's kind of like a pre-release where throughout the year I'm releasing a new song every 6 to 8 weeks. And then at the end of the year, I'll release the full EP as a whole package. It'll just have four songs. So Where I've Been, I released in, it will have five songs, sorry. Where I've Been, I released in January. What Remains, I just released like 5 weeks ago. Yet Again will be on there. And then I have a new one that'll release in July. It's called I Blame You. And then I have two others that are going to release toward the end of the year that I don't have quite worked out yet, but I'm working on them right now.
And you know what? I tell you one thing. I love that logo. Who made that logo? Was that you?
So I had a professional graphic designer. He designed it, but it was originally, because it's DS, but it's flipped up. It was originally flipped on its side, so it read as DS. And I was like, I really liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it. And so I was talking with a friend, and he's like, have you thought about flipping it the other way? And I was like, well, let's see what that looks like. So we flipped it up where it's vertical instead of horizontal. And I was like, yes, that's it. That's the logo.
To me, you know, if you look at it like quick, it looks like a symbol. It looks like a symbol, maybe the three nails, you know, and to me, it looks really cool. I wish I would have thought something like that, but that right there looks really cool. And you can see the logo. He's got awesome t-shirts, a hoodie, a hat, which I'm thinking about. I might have to go get me one of those hats, because I'm a big guy, and band shirts, they always run short on me. So, you know what? I'm going to get me a hat. I think y'all should get a hat. All my listeners, y'all get a second. Really help this guy out, because, you know, his music's awesome. He's a true man of God. His ministry is strong. But I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for being on the show. We're coming to an end. Is there anything you want to let our listeners know? Any kind of words of wisdom that you have accumulated over the years?
Yeah, I think mainly the biggest thing is sometimes life can just, it can be discouraging or even defeating at times. And I mean, I go through this all the time, and I talk with my wife about it. And obviously, like, there's days where you just feel like you're defeated, or you've been beat down by just the day-to-day stuff, or the struggles that we have to face and go through. And so really just to be an encouragement that, you know, there is hope on the other side of that. There is hope in Jesus, obviously. And this is just as much for myself as it is for anybody else, as a reminder that, you know, when you're battling or struggling with those battles and facing the hard times in life, that we can rest and have that hope in Jesus and just be encouraged in that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dustin, for being on the show. You know, your music is an inspiration to a lot of people out there that struggle with that path to come back to Jesus. You know, all you have to do is give your life to Jesus and let him take the wheel, you know, sort of like Trisha. I think that's Trisha, right? I don't know the country singers when they do that, Jesus Take the Wheel. So I haven't really been into country. I'll ask my wife later what it is. But I just want to say thank you again, Dustin, for being on the show. And you know what? We are going to go out with Yet Again, because Yet Again, the Johnny Tacos has another episode for you. So here it is, Yet Again. Dustin Starks here on the Johnny Tacos Origin Stories. God bless.
Woke to the wounds from yesterday. worn out from feeling the weight of my shame. Hard to move on when things never change. I cut through the silence and struggle to say, yet again, I'm waking up to the choice to lay down my dust and lift up my voice. Yet again, I surrender my shallow reward and remember the depths of your promise, oh Lord, that your love never comes to an end. So I'll praise you yet again. New every day, morning to evening, my hope stays the same. Heart open wide, I stand unashamed. Hands to the sky as I reach for my faith.
That's the end of the show. I want to give a shout out to Renovation Church at the Peak, as well as Finding Hope Festivals. To all the new listeners that happen to stumble upon here, thinking that this was a Food Network show. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know what? I have the opposite. I love being the bearer of good news, and the good news is Jesus Christ, and you do get edification through the testimony and the music of our guest. Want to give a shout out to all the diehard listeners that listen to us on the daily. You are the sour cream on this taco supreme, and without you I would just be talking to myself on the wall, and that would give ample ammunition for my wife to put me in Gotham forever. To everybody, remember, don't have a good day. Have a great day. Until we meet again, this is Johnny Tacos, and you are listening to Origin Stories.